Would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Judges. If you'll have your Bible open in the book of Judges to the 14th chapter, we'll begin reading in just a moment in Judges chapter 14 with verse 1. For most people who have spent any time in the Bible, this is a very familiar portion because we're dealing with the Bible's strong man, the man Samson. And in a period of time called the period of the Judges, a time of these military chieftains who were raised up during this time when every man did what was right in his own eyes, they were raised up to deliver God's people as the Lord had delivered them into the hands of their enemies. And as they sought God and God raised up these judges to deliver them. And in Judges chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, we have a portion of this amazing story of the life of Samson. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. And came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then ye shall give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. It came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father, nor my mother. Shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, He had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as a friend. In this 14th chapter, I want you to mark these words, if you would, please, as we think about this as the subject for this message. And I trust something that you will long remember. The words are found in the 14th verse. They are the words, the eater. The eater. The Bible says, and he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. As long as you live on this earth, you're going to be dealing with the eater. No doubt about it. He was here when you arrived. And if you go through the door of death into eternity, he'll be here when you exit this world. The eater. No doubt about it. The setting for this story is found a little earlier in the book of Judges, if you'd like to turn to the 13th chapter. The Bible says the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. Can you imagine God doing such a thing? I want you to think about what the Bible just has given us there. The Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. If you want to make a special note about Numbers chapter 6, God tells us about the Nazarite and the Nazarite vow. Allow me just to read a couple of verses. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. God made provision for this Nazarite vow, man or woman. In the case of a man, the hair was never to be cut. Of course, the woman wasn't cutting her hair. And it was a shame, it was a sign of reproach to see a man with this long, uncut hair. The man was never to take wine or anything that had to do with the vine. He was never to touch a dead body. The Nazarite vow was a vow of separation to God. When everyone saw this person, and it was an easily identifiable person, easily identifiable, because of the appearance of the hair in a man, they would know this is a man who has taken the Nazarite vow, a vow of separation to God. The three famous Nazarites we remember from the Bible, of course, is this man Samson, the prophet Samuel, and John the Baptist. Nazarites. Nazarites. And when we think about Samson and the fact that he is the Bible strong man, people search for the secret of his strength. And some imagine at least, that Samson had huge legs and arms, and he was such a robust person. You could see him walking down some dusty road, and he was bigger and grander in appearance than almost anyone you could ever imagine. But that wasn't what he looked like at all. He was a common, ordinary, everyday-looking kind of guy, except for the hair. It had to be that way because they sought for the secret of his strength. There was nothing in his physical appearance that would say he's a strong man. You see, God chooses to surprise an unbelieving world with his power. He does. And the devil hates that. He hates that. If you remember Samson's end, his head was shaven. He was grinding at a grist mill, blinded and grinding in humiliation. And if you look in the book of Judges, you're going to find the conclusion of Samson's life given to us as he prayed in verse 28 of Judges 16. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And you remember the story of how the pillars in the temple of Dagon, Dagon's temple was filled with this heathen god of the Philistines. The temple was filled when God's man was powerless. And the temples of heathen are filled today because God's people, for the most part, are powerless. There he stood and begged God one last time to strengthen him as the hair of his head began to grow again. And he moved the foundation of that temple. And the word of God makes this record of Samson's death in the closing part of the 30th verse of Judges chapter 16. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. I know what some people think. You do too, don't you? They think once you've messed up, it's over forever. There's no way back to God and God's blessing. You know, there's only one thing wrong with those people. They haven't read the Bible. They just haven't read the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, when God gives us this glorious chapter of faith, those who exercise faith in God, only a few names are mentioned, people mentioned by name. And if you'd notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson. He made God's honor roll, didn't he? How do you explain such a thing? It's like old Dr. Sells used to say, they say the bird with a broken pinion will never fly again and never fly high. But he said it all depends on who mends the broken pinion. If God puts the bird back together, he may fly higher than he's ever flown before. I want you to know that God is in the work of putting lives back together. And if you don't get another thing out of the life of Samson in your study of the Bible and Samson's life in the period of Judges, you remember that God used this man again. And God can use you again and again and again. I want you to remember that. As a matter of fact, everyone in the Lord's work should be doing all he can and all she can to remind people that God can use them again. And he can. And he will. And let's give him praise and glory for it. I rejoice in that, don't you? We have a message of hope because we can talk about forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation to God. We have a message of hope and we praise the Lord for it. Oh yes, we want to stand at the edge of the cliff and say, don't go there, don't mess up your life, don't ever make that error. And do all you can, scream as loud as you can scream, work as hard as you can work, do everything you possibly can do to keep people from messing up. But once they do, you run to their aid even with more effort than you had trying to keep them from messing up. And be the first on the scene to say, I'm here to tell you, God still loves you and wants to do something with your life. That's the way children of God ought to behave. Let's behave like children of God. God help us. Look back at our chapter, would you please? Samson says, I saw her, I want her. And on his way to get her, I want you to make note of something. The roar of the lion, which is the roar of Satan. The Bible says in verse 5 of Judges chapter 14, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And immediately God says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid or a baby goat. Tore him in half, just tore him up with his bare hands. As soon as God singled Samson out for something for God's glory, the devil tried to destroy him. As soon as the Lord singled him out. Would you hold your place here and turn with me, please, to what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, a verse you've memorized, I'm sure. Let's begin in 1 Peter chapter 5 with verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now you see, the lion roared. That's the roar of Satan. There's no doubt in my mind that the devil wanted that lion to destroy Samson. Did you know, as wild as it seems, God uses the devil? Isn't that wild? God uses the devil. Let me show you something. I can tell you about the book of Job, of course, and how the Lord turned the devil loose on Job. God got great glory out of all of that. But let's talk about the Apostle Paul for a moment. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Paul said, I had a problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I needed help. And the Lord helped me in a most unusual way. See, all the resources are at God's disposal. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And guess what else God says about this thorn? It was the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, God looked in his resources and he says, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. It was the messenger of Satan. The Lord used the devil to bring a thorn into my life. And it looked terrible. As a matter of fact, it was so bad, I said, get it out of here. I didn't just say, get it out of here once. He said, I prayed three times, Lord, remove it, Lord, remove it, Lord, remove it. And I'm sure it wasn't just like that. There was such intensity in his prayer, such pleading with God. But he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul learned this, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Think of it. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, make no doubt about it, it was the devil's intent to destroy Samson. But God can turn all of that devil roaring around for our good and his glory. And as long as you live your life, when you determine you're going to do something for the Lord and you feel impressed in your heart that God's giving you direction, you're going to meet with satanic opposition. There's no doubt about it. You've got it all your life. Keep in mind, he's a defeated foe. That's not just incidental. That's essential. He's a defeated foe. That dirty rat's already been beaten. Lord came forth from the grave alive evermore with his foot on the devil's throat. He's a defeated foe. Turn with me to the record given to us in the book of 1 John, would you please? In 1 John, the Word of God says in the 3rd chapter, verse 6 and following, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And notice the last part of verse 8 in 1 John chapter 3. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now that's what God says about the works of the devil. Roar on, devil! You're a defeated foe. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find this roar of Satan all along the path of life. And at first look, at first glance, you're going to get so disturbed, so worked up. Brother, you're going to think, I'm having such a hard time. It's always this way. Every time I attempt something for the Lord, every time I want to do something for God, I've got this to deal with. And that's exactly right. And you never know where he's going to pounce from. He may pounce out of the most unlikely, unexpected place. I'm not looking for him. I'm walking with Jesus and trying to keep my eyes on him. But I know the devil hates it when God singles us out for his service. And you're going to have that to deal with. You hear me? You're going to have that to deal with. The roar of Satan. Then I want you to notice we find the riddle of Samson. And then this riddle of Samson, we find the secret to all the Bible and understanding the Bible. Now, Samson says, I give you my riddle. The riddle is, look at it again in verse 14. He said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat. Now, remember, we're dealing with the eater. At first look, it doesn't look at all like the eater is going to provide any substance. He's going to eat you, destroy you, devour you. This is going to kill you. I mean, man, you've made it through a lot of things, but brother, you're not going to make it through this one. He's going to kill you. This is going to get you. This is just too much to handle. This is too great a burden to bear. This is too big a responsibility to handle. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't go around it. You're finished. Yes, sir. Well, you've had a nice trip so far, but it's over now. That's the eater. But God says, out of the eater came forth meat. Would you like to be a strong Christian? Would you like to pastor a strong church? Would you like to do something that liveth and abideth forever? Then you must face the foe in the power of God's Holy Spirit. The victory is not won somewhere sitting in a study thinking about what you're going to do. The victory is not won somewhere where you talk to your friends about your strategy for ministry. The victory is won in the thick of the fight with everything clashing and blazing and struggling. And you feel you're just about to sink and you cry out to God and God breaks through. That's the victory. All the riddle here tells us is the open secret for all the Word of God. Out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. Look at Joseph doing the best he could, and his wicked brother sold him as a slave. The eater hated him. But out of the eater came forth meat. Joseph's now down in Egypt making plans to have the breadbasket for his family and all the rest of the world too. Out of the eater came forth meat. Look at Moses. Get in the flesh. Deliver yourself. 40 years out there now wandering around the wilderness as an 80-year-old man. It's over. This is the way your life's turning out, buddy. Big dreams when you were just a young fella down in Egypt. What an opportunity you had. The eater came. But God spoke to him through a burning bush and gave him the greatest task on planet Earth, to deliver God's people at that time, the greatest task on planet Earth, to deliver God's people out of Egyptian bondage and to see the mighty hand of God break the yoke of Egyptian bondage and God defeat the greatest power, humanly speaking, on the face of the earth and prove that He is greater than all gods. He is the true and living God, the only almighty God. Out of the eater came forth meat. Think about men like Charles Spurgeon, off and running at New Park Street. Things growing, God blessing. He rents a building, has thousands and thousands of people in it. Never anything like this in all of London. He's only 21 years old, and someone screams, "Fire! The balconies are falling!" 7 people were trampled to death. He didn't know it. He went on trying to speak and still the crowd, and he learned when it was over, there'd been many hurt and 7 killed in his meeting. He had a complete nervous breakdown. "You were off to a great start, Charlie. But you didn't live long. Your ministry didn't last long. The eater got you." But God came to him and delivered him and strengthened him. Broke his pride. Took him deeper with the Lord. And out of the eater came forth meat. And today, more than 100 years after his death, he's the most read preacher in the entire world because out of the eater came forth meat. They said, "You can't preach without a license." And John Bunyan was just one of hundreds, they say historically thousands, who were out to starve to death. They threw Bunyan in jail for 12 long years. They brought his blind daughter to him and he wouldn't deny his faith for that. They said to his wife, "Why don't you plead with him?" And his wife said, "I'd rather you cut his head off and let me have his head in my apron than to see him turn his back on Jesus." The eater got him, see? That's what the eater thought. Kept him locked up in jail. But out of the eater came forth Pilgrim's Progress. And translated into hundreds of languages. Even in early American history, two books in every early American home, practically every home, one was the Bible and the other was Pilgrim's Progress. Look at Paul in Rome. You finished? He even pens, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he pens to his son the ministry, "Don't you be ashamed of me! I know whom I believed. Don't you be ashamed of me, Timothy." And he writes the church in Philippi, "Understand something. The eater thinks he's got me here and he's chomping me to bits and finally going to devour me in a Roman prison cell. But I want you to know God has spoken to me." And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "All of this is for the furtherance of the gospel. Out of the eater is coming forth meat." I'm trying to say to you, the first time you get kicked in the teeth, get up. Get up. You're going to realize the eater just tried to get you. But out of that eater, God's going to give you meat. The first time you come home and something's happened there and you think, "Well, it's all over now." No, it isn't all over. You get on your face before God and understand that out of the eater will come forth meat. Now the strong will come forth sweetness. I wish I could stand and tell you, you're going to have trouble one time and you're going to learn how to deal with it and then it's over. But it isn't going to be that way. Someone said to me when we went into this new building down here for the college to enlarge the facility so we could enlarge the ministry. The buildings are nothing. They're going to burn up someday and go. I'm grateful for them. Someone said, "You won't have this kind of burden to carry, but just once, listen, it's ongoing. It's never ending." If someone said to you, "Listen, let me tell you, you're going to have one real tough time in life and then you're going to squeeze through and God's going to help you and then that's over," they're lying to you. There's no place where the eater's not going to pop out somewhere and try to devour you. And we remember the riddle of Samson. We remember his riddle. Out of the eater came forth meat. I would not be what I am today, and I am nothing. I am what I am by the grace of God. But if there's anything that's ever been accomplished, anything, it all goes down to the glory of God. Because I'd have been lost and devoured by the devil, but out of the eater, God gave meat. And the very thing, the very same thing Satan said, I'm going to use to destroy you, is the very same thing out of which God has used to feed me and to nourish me. Dr. Robertson said when he was 72 years old, he was sitting beside me. There were theater type chairs in the church where we were, and so each of us had our seat. He reached over and put his hand on my knee. I was very young. He patted me on the knee and looked at me, and big tears were streaming down his face. And the great Lee Robertson, my hero, the great Lee Robertson, said to me, Clarence, pray for me. I'm having the hardest year of my life. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Pray for me. He said, son, I thought it was all over by now. I thought I'd be done with all this kind of thing by now. I'm having the most difficult year of my life. Pray for me. I'm not telling you something to dread. I'm telling you that God stays interested in your life. And because God stays interested in your life, the devil stays interested in it too. And when the Lord singles you out for something, here comes the devil roaring, trying to frighten you. And remember that old eater when he comes, that out of the eater comes forth meat. That's the riddle of Samson, which is God's guide for spiritual understanding of his word and his work. Then there's a third thing, and that is the reward of the struggle. Samson came back by and saw the carcass of the lion bleached now in that Middle Eastern sun. Bones there. And bees had swarmed in it and they'd been making honey. He looked over and saw in the carcass of that lion honey. And he reached in and got that honey. His hands dripping with honey. Covered with honey. And he brought that honey and gave it to his mother and father. Out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. You don't have to tell me this. It's all right. And I haven't arrived. But I'm not the same person you called to be the pastor of this church. I've had the life nearly crushed out of me. I've had my heart broken. I've had so much disappointment, and I'm sure there'll be more. I've awakened in the middle of the night, more nights than I could count, and just prayed my way to the break of the day and told God, I don't know if I'll make it under this one. And I did. And then claimed his promise the next morning that as my day, so shall my strength be. And he let me live to see the break of day. And he promised goodness and mercy will follow me that day. And my strength would be as that day. God is with me. He's with me. But he's taken some things out of me that need to be taken out. And he put some things in that need to be put in. And I thank him. I know that I'm his construction site and you're his construction site. Don't belittle that and don't flinch from that. You see, the greatest work God is doing in this world is not in facilities. It's in the hearts of his children. Transforming us and making us like Jesus. Now, somebody might think we've advanced quite a ways, but we know how far we've got to go, don't we? Don't we know? Sure we do. But there's a reward in this struggle. God has given me a peace. God has been near me. The Lord has met me. God has given me sweet, precious friends who encourage me. God has given me loyalties and friendships He's used to sustain me. He's given me so many precious promises of His Word applied to my hurting heart. He's made the Word of God live and abide forever in me. He's been a wonderful Savior and remains to this moment a wonderful Savior. And you and I are going to have to reach in. We're going to have to reach in to the carcass of that old dead lion and pull out some honey and give it, feed it to a hungry world. You're going to have something to say. You're going to have to stand up and say it. You're going to have something to give people. Where do you get it? Where do you get that heavenly honey? You get it from the struggles God allows you to go through. Born, carried along in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You bring food to people. And you don't say things like this. Don't get silly and say things like this. Well, I made it, you could make it. No. You say things that sound more like this. Listen, God brought me through. And the same God that brought me through, He'll bring you through. Amen. And you'll be saying it in a way where somebody will say, and you know, I believe Him. I believe her. They're saying that so convincingly, so personally. I believe Him. I believe her. And when you get real low, and you'll get there, then think of nothing but the cross. Nothing but the cross. And the devil danced with glee all over hell and said, we've got him, he's dead, it's over. The demons rejoiced. All the little imps of hell had a heyday when the Son of God breathed His last breath. And they took His body down and buried Him in a borrowed tomb. But when He broke in on their party and made the captives free and came out of the grave on the third day alive forevermore, amen, Satan's party was over. Amen. And God's Son is forever victorious. Amen. So you think you're going under. You think the devil's got you by the arm or the leg or the heart, and you're struggling with it, then you remember Calvary. There's a reward in that struggle. You're going to come through it. God's going to bring you through. And you're going to have heavenly honey in your hands to give to a hungry, starving people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The eater, yes, he's real. He exists. But don't stop with the eater. God says, out of the eater, that whole thing, God will turn around and He'll give you meat. He'll give you meat. Let's praise His holy name. Amen? Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer?